Hello, dear friends, and welcome to another episode of Life of Love, where we explore the magic of living to our highest potential and our individual potential of extreme uniqueness for every person. And today is no exception. We're going to get a loving message from a beautiful soul, Jason Medlock. He has a long history of helping people reach their potential. I mean, he's been a professional athlete. He's a dad of two Division I football players. And I think your third son, is he a football player too?
He was, and he's in the military now, in the Army.
So. Thank you. I didn't want to leave the third one off. You know, those third wheels. We don't want anyone left behind on Life of Love. And Jason, he's an author, a best-selling author, a mindset coach, and a remote viewer. So he uses all his experience of being an athlete, being a dad, being a hypnotherapist, and he brings it all together in this alchemy of hope and light to help people reach their highest potential. So I'm just really delighted, Jason, that you're on Life of Love today, and I can't wait to pick your brain.
Thank you, Julie. I'm glad to be here, and I'm excited to just share to the audience, to your audience, just a lot of the wonderful things that we possess from within.
I love that. And that resonated with me so much. And I loved our pre-interview conversation. And I'm just really excited to share with the audience what we have planned. So everyone stick around because we have lots of goodies and it's going to be a very meaningful conversation. I really am excited to get into the idea of your advanced consciousness. And you wrote about it in your book. You write about advanced consciousness and the huge human potential. And I was just wondering, how did you discover that each person has this huge potential?
Just by understanding the concepts of remote viewing, when, you know, my instructor, Tony Civilelli, taught me scientific remote viewing. And I have another instructor, David Wallace, who taught me associate remote viewing. So I know two different brands of remote viewing. The fact that we're able to use our consciousness and move it to different places in the galaxy, different dimensions, millions of miles away or thousands of miles away, it resonated within me with the understanding that uniquely our conscious is very special and it's unique to each and every one of us. We know that our conscience is not local. We know that our conscience is beamed in from a higher source. Mm-hmm. So we know this. And, you know, these concepts that I've learned on how to locate things or how to predict future events. And Julie, we use it with, you know, Reiki masters use the pendulum to find out where there are blockages. And it sways back and forth for blockage or no blockage. We use the sway test, and I know a lot of people have probably seen that on Google, where you hold your body still, and you sway back for no and forward for yes. Well, those are answers from the subconscious mind. Consciously, the higher self will guide you. And similarly, in remote viewing, we're taught to know the difference between the conscious mind in the subconscious mind, and who's actually speaking to you, because when we need the answers to figure out where's this object, what's behind this door, this safe of the door, what are there bases on the moon? You know, we have to differentiate between, is that me talking consciously, my left side of my brain? Or is it the subconscious mind giving me the information? The subconscious mind knows everything about us, everything that we've done, everything that we will do, and everything that we're doing right now. It knows everything that we want to know. And the answers are there. And that's one of the Dolores Cannon quotes. I'm a Dolores Cannon disciple with quantum healing hypnosis, but the answers are there. So we go through these steps in scientific remote viewing. And the first thing that our instructor will give us is a picture. We don't see the picture, but he'll have the picture and he'll say, here's an object I want you to locate. I want you to tell me exactly what it is. So we go through the steps, we'll do a little small meditation, and then we let our hands just move freely. And we'll pick a pen up. And once he gives us a 4-digit number that he's embedded into this photo, and once you embed a number into a picture, like you can look at a picture, you can say 5432, 5432, 5432. Now that's in the ether of space. That's in it's quantumly entangled in the quantum field where all the information is. And once he does that, then, you know, every remote viewer out there knows that once they get 4-digit code, 3122. And then you let your hand, you have a pencil on a piece of paper and just let it flow. You don't do anything. That's called an ideogram. And once we do the ideogram and then we begin to touch it after we do the squiggly line, you touch it and you realize your consciousness and your subconsciousness, because your subconscious, when you touch it, because the instructor will give you, is it hot, cold? Is it warm? And when you touch it, the subconscious mind will say warm or hot or whatever. You write that down. And is it long, short, wide, medium? And then when we touch the line, you can hear it, medium. And so the consciousness leads you through this session until you can figure out what the object is. You know, conversely, when you talk about, you know, collectively how we experience our consciousness and just being aware of it, the remote viewing is just one example of knowing when the subconscious mind is talking to you or giving you the answer versus the conscious mind. And Julie, you know, when we are between the ages of 0 and 7 years old, our subconscious mind is guiding us through every facet of our life. It's protecting us. Mm-hmm. It knows that that's hot and that's cold and that's a dog. And don't step off this. Don't take another step or you'll fall down the steps. It is protecting us until we're around 8 years old. Then our conscious mind takes over and it begins to develop who we are according to the construct of our environment. And whatever our environment is, our conscious mind begins to adapt to it. And we start to, you know, grow into who we are. So I often get asked, well, how can you tell the difference on who's speaking or what action to take? A number of practices over several weeks or several months, mindfulness practices, realizing while you're in prayer or while you're in meditation, realizing the little things, the air that's blowing on your hands, the sounds that are around you, realizing your emotions, the color shoes you're wearing, the shape of the shoe, the rubber that holds the shoe together. Those are mindfulness techniques. And then another thing is meditating, just being able to move yourself to a level of peace and quiet. Over and over and over and over, you're able to then train yourself to hear the difference between when the conscious mind says, you know, she just called your name, react to her. You know, this person is talking to you ugly. You need to say something back. The conscious mind is quick to, you know, react to this and do this. And all along, and if we're all honest, the subconscious mind is always saying, you better not do that. And we hear it for a second and then it's gone. And then the conscious mind takes over. But when you've trained yourself through using mindfulness techniques, meditation, yoga, whatever prayer, whatever you use as a modality to move yourself to this place, this stillness, if you've done that, you can hear the difference. And, you know, that's my take on, you know, subconscious mind and how we all have this and how it's interchangeable and, you know, really how to look at it, so to speak.
Oh, I just love that. And there's so many many questions. But I think my whole thing is like, when you first enter this journey, you think consciousness, subconsciousness, and it's all, you think it's in your head. But the deeper you get into this work, you realize it's connecting to your body. It's the simplicity. It's not out there woo woo. It's getting quiet in here, in your body. And that's where the goo is. That's where the life of love can come in, is when you're appreciating these everyday little things, like the soles on your shoes, you know, like you said, the, you know, just sounds and the breeze and that getting quiet and just letting things happen around you and being in tune to your environment. That's how you connect to what we call consciousness and, you know, subconsciousness. You know, and then when you get up in your head, that's when everything gets amok. That's when you make judgments. That's when you have fear. And I always know that my conscious mind is working too hard when things are staticky, when it feels thick, when things seem confusing. And it's a different, to me, it's a different feeling. Maybe it's my clairsentience. I don't know, but I immediately know when I need to simplify and get into my heart, and I believe that's when I connect to my subconscious, is when I'm in my heart, because everything gets peaceful. When things seem chaotic and staticky, that's how I know I'm in my conscious mind, that part of me that's trying to control, manipulate, instead of reacting and being in response and resource, because you have to get quiet to know your options. Otherwise, you're just on a survival mode. So it's a lot of work to get to those places where you're quiet, like you're saying, like you're meditating, you're having mindfulness.
It's that infamous left side of the brain where the conscious mind has the most influence, the directions, I need to know this, the attitude, the persistence, the anxiety, the depression, the left side of the brain. The right side of the brain is the creative side, the pictures, the memories, all of the colors, all of the fun things you like to do. That's the side of the brain as a certified hypnotherapist and a quantum hypnotherapist. The right side of the brain is the side of the brain that I want to work with. I want you to visualize. I want you to relax. I want you to laugh. I want you to play, you know, so just, you know, piggybacking on what you're just saying, there's a stark difference. And we need our conscious mind, the conscious mind, but it is right here after age 7 years old, and the subconscious mind recedes to here. And we want to balance those out. And we have a lot of people that come on shows. You can live subconsciously. Tell people how. You have to constantly move the subconscious mind. I mean, the conscious mind down, so the subconscious mind can come from the background and be able to hear it, so that you can live subconsciously. Because the answers to most of the things that you want. Or right there. And one more thing, another major reason why you can differentiate the answers that you're getting from both. One of the things I was taught in remote viewing is that once you touch that piece of paper with the pen or with your fingers to get the next answer to the next step, that answer will come in 1.3 seconds. You know, 1.3 seconds, you have an answer. After that, the conscious mind will take over and answer for you. And from two different well-known instructors taught me this, that you have to really, really be in tune, and the answer comes. It's the low-lying information, and it happens so quick. And if you don't grab it, and we always say this, man, if I had listened to myself, I wouldn't have did this. Yeah, the answer was there early.
Right. It's that feeling. It's that, like you said, it's pretty immediate. We got a new game. My son was home on fall break, and I'm going to plug a game, I guess. But It's called Blank Slate. And the whole idea is you get a word and it has a line before or after it. So you might have the word mind and then a blank. And everyone has their little dry erase board and you write how you would finish that word or phrase. So you could do mindful, you could do mindset. And when you flip over your card, if you match with another player, then you each get a point. And if you, if you match with one, you get 3 points. If you match with two other players, you get 1 point. So you're constantly trying to figure out what the other person might answer, but not everybody, because you want to get 3 points instead of 1 point. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's tuning into another person's, you know, their mindset, their consciousness. And so what they're going to write in that moment. And it's funny because as someone's winning, you try to tune out of them and tune into another person who's behind. And it was really interesting. It's collaborative until someone's getting ready to win. And if you want the game to go longer or you want it to be over, you can choose which way you want to go. We just had such a blast. I noticed when I just wrote my first gut reaction, I would win. It was always in tune with the people. You make space for that situation to tune into someone else, what they might say. And it was a pretty cool game. And I love that it's collaborative and it's a psychic game, really. And
muscle memory. And we do things, we lift weights to gain muscle. The muscles remember that they're growing, they're tearing apart and they're growing bigger. Anything that you do, anything that you study, an exam is memory recall because you've moved it into your muscle memory. If you train yourself not to respond to people who are who say just crazy things to you at work, and you've gotten a feel for this person, and you've said to yourself, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to respond." You're training yourself to have a level of discipline on not responding. The same applies to this game you're speaking of, or the feeling of understanding when my conscious mind is taking over and my subconscious mind is answering or giving me information. It's training yourself to know the difference. And just for the average person out there that's trying to figure this thing out, that's all you can relate it to, just constant work, constant training. And you'll be amazed at how you're able to change your life just by the one little concept that we're on right now.
Mm-hmm. And then, we haven't talked about this because we're positive people, but your subconscious also has negativity.
Oh, yeah.
And to call that out. So in my opinion, it's concentrating on your positive subconscious that weeds out the negative. Do you have a technique to weed out the negative subconscious programming that you might not even know, like through epigenetics, like something that you've inherited, these fears or this idea of lack that is in all of our DNA? How do you address the negative subconscious, or do you think it all gets brought up by when you're more positive with the
limited beliefs, limited thinking? And let's just get this straight. Mm-hmm. If you are a negative person and you're using you've trained yourself to be ruthless and to be, that's what you're going to get. The subconscious mind works both ways. Creating new neural pathways in the brain, and installing more software, you're going to get negative if you think it works both ways. If you think negative, mm-hmm. if you think malicious, if you think in a way that's underhand, everybody that you come in contact with, snake behavior, that is what mm-hmm. you will get. And God has given us the ability to be good or bad, to be positive or negative, but if you are a person who's trying to empower yourself and you recognize that I'm at $65,000 a year. I don't know why I'm not able to get to $85,000 or to $100,000 a year. Something is wrong. And one of the things on how can you get a person who has this negative impression about themselves, or maybe be vibrating at a lower level or a low frequency that they're emitting, because vibration and frequency attract like.
Mm-hmm. Like attracts like.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So what if you, how do you, Jason, help people out of that? Well, it's very, very simple. Can the person who's requesting this self-realize that about themselves? Because when you get a client, and Julie, you know that, you know, you can't work with them unless they can see the issue. Even after you've done your consultation with them, your intake, and you're sitting with them, you're getting ready to work with them, you're saying, now, tell me the problem. And well, I don't know why he and my husband did this and my daughter did that and this person and that person. Okay. So all of these things are happening with you. Is there anything that's happened in your past that you can talk about that may have triggered some of these feelings that you have? You know, and you, mm-hmm. you know, I want to spend a lot of time, but you try to get them to be self-aware. And once you can get a person to be self-aware, going back to your question, then we can try to isolate the blockage, the pain, the hurt. And as a regression therapist as well, I'll use a technique to move you back into a different lifetime if I cannot identify where it is in the current life. Mm. And then we move you back into a different lifetime and then explore different lives that you may have lived to see where did this behavior come from that is plaguing you, that is bothering you in the current lifetime. But we cannot do that unless you have self-realized and you have letting yourself be honest. Honesty and trust are the key to help anybody change whatever it is that they're dealing with. Honesty and trust. And well, okay, Jason, that sounds easy, but I have a patient who's really, really deep down into herself. Like she is rooted that it's everybody else but her. Well, the interview process, the questions, you have to listen as a practitioner. The more you listen and let them talk, the more they become comfortable and the more they trust. Put your pen down, put your pencil down, practitioner, put it down and just listen to them. They feel that you're listening. That builds trust. And the more trust, the easier it is to complete a session and to find the issue. And then when you find the issue, then you isolate it and then you try to figure out when did it happen. And if you're not a regression therapist, then when you find the issue, then you use powerful questioning. You know, this is coaching stuff. Now you use different techniques of questioning so that they can continue to realize, wow, if my attitude wasn't so bad, maybe this is why this wouldn't happen. Yeah, you know, I am cranky in the morning. You know what? I do things without my husband knowing, and he has to find out on the credit card bill. Why do I do that? You know, Jason, you're right. But that's all about empowering them to talk.
You know, to get to that, if they didn't feel worthy, because that's the only reason you would hide something on the credit card bill is you didn't think you deserved it and you're just sort of sneaking it. You know what I mean? And that gets to self-worth. It's so wonderful. Yes. It's so beautiful. I'm curious as just a person, when did you discover remote viewing? Was it after your professional athletic career? Is it during? Did it change something in your life drastically? Like, what was your? Because not everyone says I want to do remote viewing. I mean, that's an outlier. So I'm wondering how that spurred in you.
I discovered remote viewing in the middle of my spiritual journey, my spiritual walk. Prior to that. You know, obviously I'm a Methodist. I still am, you know, Christian, you know, but my work does not intersect with religion at all. And I have to tell people that because they want to make my work religious. And I'm like, no, I don't want to have
it transcends. This kind of stuff transcends all religion. Yeah, and it's part of religion. Like, I know that the spirituality is found in religious dogma, but this is nothing you can label as this, that, or the other. This is a whole different thing.
It's just a technique, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I was able to, you know, my sister would give me affirmations every day when I was in college, and I was saying them. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I will be a great student athlete. I will get scholarship athlete of the week. I will be a good football player. These things started to happen for me, Julie. I was like, wow, this is happening. Get mm-hmm. out of college and, you know, had a hiatus on doing that and just living life. And later on in my 30s, you need to, this is my sister talking to me, Tereska. I want you to watch a movie called The Secret. I said, okay, what does it do? Just watch it. I watched The Secret. I'm like, law of attraction. Okay. Vision boarding, metaphysics. Okay. So I would do whatever she wanted me to do because she was sort of my guide, guiding me on, you know, just, you know, being aware of, you know, spirituality. Mm-hmm. Got into all of that. All that stuff started to work. The vision boarding parties she would have every year, the images I would put up on my board, I would look at them the whole, half the year. Julie, those things were starting to come true. And I'm like, man, some of this stuff works. How'd you learn about all this? And then mm-hmm. COVID-19 shut all of us down and made everybody self-reflect. If you were at home mm-hmm. all day, every day, it was just wow. And I read Belinda Womack's Lessons from the 12 Archangels, that one of the most beautiful books I've ever read in my life. And it spurred my spiritual journey. So along the way, learning different modalities, like Reiki, I'm a level 3 galactic energy healer. Same concepts as Reiki, instead of rubbing our hands and using the heat from my hands to generate this energy to using the pendulum to open these chakras, and we use patterns. And I learned mm-hmm. astral projection. Then I had a spiritual coach I hired. So I was going through this journey, and remote viewing I was drawn to it. And I came in contact with remote viewing because all these things I started to learn about myself. And once I started to understand what it remote viewing was, I knew it was dealing with the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, how to use the subconscious mind to answer questions. And once I said, okay, I'm going to start taking remote viewing because I want to be able to use this as a tool to help people in different situations. And then I learned how to do it. And I then became an associate remote viewer. And that's more like it's the same thing as being a psychic medium. You go see mm-hmm. a psychic medium to ask questions, you know, and figure out this. Well, associate remote viewing is a yes or no type modality where you go through these steps, and we use pictures instead of scientific steps. And the mm-hmm. pictures tell us the answer just by sketching what we feel, because you have these envelopes with these pictures in it. And you mm-hmm. ask the question, and you shuffle the envelopes, and you say, show me the image that represents the actual slot machine that Julia wants to play when she goes to Las Vegas. And I'll pull that photo out, and I'll shuffle the next 9 pictures mm-hmm. in the envelopes. Show me the photo that doesn't represent the slot machine that Julia wants to play when she goes to Las Vegas. Pull that photo out, and then I'll meditate for about 10 minutes, and I'll come back so that I can move myself deeper to the subconscious mind. And before I open these 2 photos, I'll sketch what I think the correct answer is so that mm-hmm. Julie can get the right slot machine in Las Vegas. And when I sketch it, I'll open up envelope 1 and look at the photo, and I'll grade the characteristics of the photo versus what I sketched. And I'll open up envelope 2 and I'll look at the photo, and then it looks more like what I sketched. So Harold Puthoff is one of the pioneers of remote viewing. And Harold Puthoff created this formula that you use in associate remote viewing, using photos and matching the characteristics of what you sketched, what the subconscious told you was the right answer. And the closer, when you do the numbers for the first one and the second one, you add up the characteristics and it gives you different numbers for each one. And then you put it in the formula that Harold Puthoff created. And it gets you, if you're more than 3.5, or if you're at 3.5 or higher, it's a yes. If you're under 3.5, it's a no. So that's the basis of remote viewing, on how you can use that modality to answer business questions, predict up or down on stocks, predict the outcome of future events, the outcome of sporting events, baseball. I have around a 53% hit rate with NBA games. And when I learned how to do this from David Wallace, I said, David, is this all you use it for, is to predict, you know, gaming and all that? He's like, no, I use it for a lot of things, but I perfected it with sporting events and stocks and the lottery. And do your homework on David Wallace, ladies and gentlemen out there. He's won the Florida lottery twice.
Yeah.
The name of his book is Picking Winners, and that's how I found him. That's how I came in contact. You know, you don't just find remote viewing, but I came in contact with it because it was another way for me to exercise the relationship with my subconscious and know that I can connect to it at will, and using techniques like remote viewing and associate remote viewing, it shows when you actually pick the winner of an event, or you give a person the exact slot machine they should play when they go to Las Vegas, and they come back and they say, Jason, I won that machine that we looked at, the floor plan I sent you when I went online and I got the MGM casino floor plan and I sent it to you, and you picked which machine, it worked. So I've done that before, actually, for a client.
That's so fun. It's so fun. And I love that it's a system and you can follow it. And it's a way to harness the psychic abilities that we all have. We all have gut feelings. It's how do you rein it in? How do you make it a conscious thing? Because that's what we're doing. You're taking your subconscious and making it something you can talk about, that you're consciously aware of it.
So you're bridging the gap. I love the way you said that. It's really like, we'll go see a psychic, Julie, and they'll tell us everything. Actually, I'm using remote viewing, and I may say, well, I'm not a psychic. I'm not sitting with anybody trying to tell them anything about themselves. But I can pull this information out of my own subconscious mind and not really need the psychic medium. Think about it. Quantum healing hypnosis, Dolores Cannon's technique. When we move you from the theta brainwave state, which that's where we work at clinical hypnosis, we work in the theta state. But in quantum healing, we work in the symbolistic state. Right there up under theta, it's a deeper piece. It's a deeper level of trance.
So the brainwave is slower than theta.
Yes, it's slower than theta. Okay. So in that state, we're able to access the subconscious mind. If you watch any of Dolores Cannon's videos, and if you read her books, she has all these books out there, you know, Traveling Back to Atlantis, Five Lives Remembered, The Convoluted Universe. But she's interviewing patients, and they're giving all these brilliant stories about our beginning. So we do that by pulling the higher self out and having a direct conversation. You know, Julie wants to know, you know, what job should she be taking? I mean, should she be pursuing right now? You know, just anything you want to know. But the reason why I bring that up, that's just like going to see a psychic medium. Mm-hmm. So all these things are interchangeable. Mm-hmm.
So fun. And I love that you have on your website the quantum healing hypnosis questions. Because to me, whenever I'll go, my friend, she can read angels really well. And if I get stuck, I'll be like, Dr. Carolyn, you know, and I have to come up with a question. You just can't go and say, tell me what I need to know. Like, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. You have to have a specific topic or a question. You know, if it's a yes, no question, that's even better. But, you know, you have to narrow it down to something. So on your website, you have, I don't know, 75 different questions.
When I first did my session, when I was going through with my spiritual, I had a spiritual teacher. She's a channeler, Chloe Moores. She did the foreword in my book. She's a channeler and she's very accomplished at it. When she was doing my sessions and I was wanting to know, I didn't really have good questions.
Right. It's an art to come up with the questions. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yes. You hear me? And has your sister, has she gone on this with you? Or I'm curious how your conversations with, what was her name?
Tereska. Tereska, in season one of Expansion of Consciousness, she's my co-host. She's the instigator behind her little brother doing all this stuff. So she's on there season one. In season two, she makes appearances. Mm-hmm. You know, in season three, I just keep doing it myself. In season four, she'll come back and do a few things. We did a book club. I put together a book club in 2022. Julie, it was a 1 year. You're like a whole year book club. It was a 1 year book club centered around every quarter of the year. We were doing a different type of manifestation. It was a manifesting book club for an entire year. And the book Project 369, I know you've seen, they do a lot of advertising on Facebook and Instagram, mm-hmm. but that book Project 369, we used that book the entire year and broke it down in different sections for the book club. And my sister Tereska was in the book club with me, but it was so beautiful. It was two other ladies. So it was four of us total. Lady in the group had a powerful experience of manifesting the entire year in at least one. It was multiple breakthroughs, but at least one item or one ask per lady in the group, it absolutely happened for them. And some were multiple, including myself. I write about it in the book and I have a whole chapter on manifesting. And I talk about all the techniques that we use, the water alchemy technique, 3 times a day, write it 3 times a day for 3 weeks. Okay. So that's the premise of it. 555 technique, 777 technique. And then you have the 369 Nikola Tesla manifesting technique. So I write about these to share with the audience. Here's what we use, and here's what I picked up from going to different seminars, from taking different workshops, from watching YouTube. You know, I don't want to ever come across is that I created this. No. All the stuff that we talk about is not proprietary. You may have a different experience with it, but none of it's proprietary and no one is saying it the right way. Everything is interchangeable and there's no, I practice this technique. I found this to be more effective. No, all of it is effective. It's about intention.
It's about how it hits you and what you need to hear and if you're ready to hear it. And it can come from, that's what I love about having guests, because I realize there's these common messages. It's just how your ears need to hear it and how you're ready. So that's a beautiful thing about being a spiritual, I say it's an activator, or activating different light in people and take what serves you and leave what doesn't. And it's all good. It's all fine. So I really appreciate the time you spent with us today. And I'm really excited about your book and, thank you for, he's sending me a free copy, which is really nice. And I'm sending him my audio book because he listens to those. So we're a big Life of Love community. And I just can't wait to see where you go from here.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, and when I was writing this book, you know, I wrote it really to just kind of recount my spiritual journey and the wisdom that I was picking up. Just from different modalities. And, you know, I envision the book as a compass for, you know, those that are out there yearning to go beyond their current situation. You know, the boundaries that people set on what they will listen to, and you know, my religion saying I can't do this. And I just kind of challenge people to delve deeper into themselves. And you know, you can find out a lot about yourself just by spending time with you. And you know, so you know, that book is an open, you know, invitation. Just you know, if the spiritual hunger is calling you to learn different modalities, then I'm recounting my exploration to the fullest. I'm doing a lot of research on different modalities, how they started, where did it start at, and my experiences. And ultimately, in each chapter, I give a detailed path on how you can do it too and how I can help you.
It's beautiful. And that's what it's all about, is finding your way. And you, something will be of interest, and just go for it. Just, what do you have to lose? You'll have a deeper understanding of yourself. You might say, well, that didn't work for me, but it's all wonderful. No time is wasted when you're exploring what you're curious about. And you know, that's totally what I'm about, is like, be curious, go after it, ask the question, you know, pause, think about how it hits you. And it matters, because that's your, however something hits you is your subconscious. And you can have the choice of saying, that works for me, or I think I'd rather go at it a different way this time. And that's what you were talking about before. God gave us free will.
Free will.
So you can choose to be the same or not.
When I start my manifestations, I always say, I give you permission to intervene in my life. And I call on my spirit guides. I call on the archangels. I call on all the beings that are here to help me while I'm incarnated. And then I go into the ask, the manifestation itself. This is while I'm in meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So and, you hit that.
Jason, I honor that you're so open about it, and that you're just putting it out there and letting people know it's okay.
It is.
You know, you're not someone who's trying to control. It's just love. You're asking God, asking his helpers. And this isn't woo-woo. This is something that's powerful that anyone can use. You just have to ask and have the open heart. And it's beautiful. And I'm just creating space and holding space for that, your divine masculine. And I love that not a lot of men want to go there, because it's not a typical masculine role, but you're open the door, and I'm holding space for you, and I'm just honoring that, because it's just divine. It's lovely.
Julie, all of the shows that I've had as a host, and now that I'm a guest, women, and you hit on something that was important. As a man, you're holding this space. You know why there are some guys out here that are doing this, but you know why it's more women? Because more women experience their emotions more at a more rapid rate than men. We are so tough, and we're the head of the family, and we have to be strong. And we tell our sons, don't you cry one bit. If we don't allow ourselves to feel, and that's the key to me learning all of this, I had to allow myself to feel first. And once I did that, and with the help of my spiritual teacher, then I was able to experience all the wonderful modalities and the different things I could do to change my life. And, you know, you're going to lose some friends because they think that you've gone on some trip, woo-woo trip. So you're real religious now. No, I'm not a pastor. I was just learning how to open up myself so that I could use different techniques. And, you know, family members, half of them are like, what is he talking about? The other half is like, okay, I'm glad you're, you know, and they're still kind of on the edge, you know, but you have to take that step for yourself. And your audience that's listening, and they want to really move off away from the negativity and all that stuff, and they just want to dive into fixing themselves, don't listen to anybody. Do you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's a major part of what your message is. You're unique, and you have unique gifts, and it's just, you know, finding those, and you're dedicated to helping people. So thank you so much, Jason. This has been a delight and a joy, and I just can't wait to share it.
Thank you so much, Julie. I really appreciate it.